you guys out there in the third dimension with your smart devices, you can really exercise your thumbs on this show. Hello, everybody. I'm Gary. This is my wife, Gloria.
Hi, everybody.
We're Grace Faith Christian Discipleship, and this is the GFCD Q&A Bible Study. And on the screen, we've got our guest ministers. If I can go to you, please, Tom, to introduce yourself to the people out there in the third dimension.
Yeah, my name's Tom. I'm Tom Hawkins from the east coast of England, a place called Grimsby, well, Gladsby, we call it. And Wendy and myself, Wendy's just busy at the minute, so she'll join us for a little while. And we run one church, Grimsby.
Yeah, thanks, Tom. And John Tripp, can you introduce yourself to the people out there?
Yes, sir. Thank you, Gary. Yes, I'm John Tripp. I live in the state of North Carolina, which is on the eastern part of the United States, and that it borders the Atlantic Ocean to the east and the Appalachian Mountains to the west. And thank you, Gary, for having me.
Yeah, thanks for being here, John.
Pleasure, John. Yeah.
Lovely. And Gloria, can you introduce us?
Yes, and I'll tell everybody where we are. And we're coming to you from the east coast of Australia. We're actually in two different locations at the moment, only for another couple of weeks, and then we'll be back in the same house. So Gary's in Queensland, and just outside of the city of Ipswich, which is west of Brisbane, and I'm down in New South Wales, which is the state below Queensland, in a country city called Dubbo, and it's just absolutely beautiful and peaceful where I'm living at the moment, house sitting for my son, looking after three dogs, one cat that I had to take to the vet, three chooks, and a whole bunch of plants. So, no, it's beautiful. I've really enjoyed it.
And that's you guys out there in the third dimension watching on, can you tell us where you're watching from? Just make a comment below and just tell us where you're watching from. And as we get into this Bible study, if you've got questions, ask them there. Mm-hmm. And during the week, before next weekend, we'll come back with answers for you. So you'll get your answers from the team here. And I'm going to hand over to Gloria to open with prayer.
We usually like to take communion for those who are believers that are watching. So if you haven't got any elements there that you can use to represent the bread and wine, the body and blood of Jesus, jump up and get yourself something and come back and join us and fellowship with us. And while I open this Bible study in prayer. So, Father God, we thank you. We love you. We thank you that you have poured your love out upon us and upon this world through your Son, Jesus. We thank you for the word, the written word. We know that Jesus is the word. We know that it is living and powerful. We thank you for the Holy Spirit who helps us to understand the word and helps us with everything that we have to do in this life. And but as we read the word tonight, we know that it's going to reach those people whose hearts are hungry for you. And it will sink into good soil and produce much fruit in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. And today, as I was thinking about what message to bring, a little message for communion, I said to God, what message do you want me to bring? And just like that, he came back and said, what message have you got? And I thought, wow, that's God when he puts it back on me like that. And so I want to bring a message that says, be bold and be strong, for the Lord thy God is with you. Remember that song we used to sing years ago? I love it. It's a really upbeat song. Well, that actually comes from a passage in Joshua. And if I can go there, just let me go there right now. And it says, have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Mm-hmm. And the reason I brought that out is because I've had an opportunity this week to be bold and to be strong in the power of the Holy Spirit and to not be afraid of actually speaking what I believe. And so by having that opportunity to do that, it has helped me to grow. It has stretched me. And I think at times, if you're someone that has been maybe a bit of a closet Christian, or someone that's been fearful of what others might say, then this is something to take hold of. Be bold and be strong. It says in 1 Corinthians 11, 26, and this is after Jesus reminded everybody when he was taking the bread and wine and sharing it, and he said, remember me. It says in verse 26, for as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. And that word proclaim really jumped out at me. And that word means to declare publicly. And the opposite of that is to hide or to not publish. So we have a choice to make. What message do we carry? What message do we have? And I choose to have the message that I want to share is that I believe in Jesus. Mm. I believe in the cross. I believe in the sacrifice that he made. I believe that his body was whipped at the whipping post and paid the price for my healing. I believe that his blood was shed to pay for the sin of the world. I believe that he died, was buried, and has risen again. And I believe that he's coming back one day. And why do I make this declaration? Why do I believe it so strongly? Is because we live in a world that is not the best of places to be right now if you're not a Christian, because there's not a lot of hope out there. So be bold, be strong, remember Jesus and what he's done for us. Mm. And we take and eat this bread, remembering the sacrifice he made for us in his body. And we take the cup, remembering the precious blood that paid for our forgiveness. Thank you, Jesus. Thank eat you, and drink.
The body that was broken for me.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise your holy name. Be bold. Be strong.
Yeah. Thank you, Jesus, for your blood. Mm. And thank you, Gloria, for leading us through communion. I just want to say hello to Gloria's friend Wendy, who's watching us from the Glasshouse Mountains. Hello.
Oh, it's Vicky. Vicky, hi, actually. Vicky. Mm-hmm. Oh. Hi, Vicky, if you're watching.
Sorry about that, Vicky. I've got the names mixed up.
I do have another friend. Her name's Wendy, but she's in Nebraska.
Oh, okay. Well, it's not far apart. This is a global Bible study. This Bible study encompasses the whole globe. So not only do we go to the Glasshouse Mountains, we go to Nebraska and to other places like John's in North Carolina, which is on the east coast of the USA.
Uh-huh.
Tom is in Grimsby, which is on the east coast of England. Gloria's in central New South Wales, and I'm on the east coast of Queensland. We've just about got the world covered on this screen. This is a global Bible study, and the purpose of this Bible study is to teach how to rightly divide the word of truth. Teaching how to rightly divide the word of truth. That's the call that God asked me to do. He asked me, he said, Gary, will you teach the teachers and preachers how to rightly divide the word of truth? And how do I do that? Through discipleship. This ministry, these Bible studies are discipleship. And I've got a team here to help me disciple you guys. I've got Tom and Wendy and John and Gloria. And don't underestimate Gloria. She is a powerhouse, a real powerhouse. And I've seen that in action this week. Praise God. Okay, we're going to go to the Bible. We're going to go to the book of Hebrews. And you guys out there in the third dimension. Third dimension is you guys are watching. You're not on the screen, but you're still participating. You can ask questions. So we're going to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 17. Mm-hmm. So I'll share screen. Okay. Where are we, Gloria? Where's Hebrews? Here we go. Takata Bible, I think that's the one. Okay, verse 17 down to verse 22. And we might go to you first, John, eh?
Okay. You want me to read that whole block?
Yeah, read the whole block. Mm-hmm. And then we'll just... Actually, I might make a few comments while John gets his thoughts together, because I've got some notes here. I might just read my notes. Yeah, got it. Can you take
okay.
it?
Okay, sure.
Down to verse 22.
By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, "In Isaac your seed shall be called," concluding that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from which he also received him in a figurative sense. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed each of his sons of blessed each of the sons of Joseph, and worshipped, leaning on the top of his staff. By faith, Joseph, when he was dying, made mention of the departure of the children of Israel and gave instructions concerning his bones.
Mm. So each of these people were stepping out in faith. What faith does, if we go right back to the beginning of Hebrews, it says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. These things existed, but these people hadn't seen them. That's the point that we're making here. I just want to comment on that word tested. See there? By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, you know? It doesn't necessarily say that God was testing him. It just says that he was tested. The circumstances of life test most of us. Life is a real test. But in Abraham's case, what was going on there was God had established a covenant that God made with himself. He made with Abraham, and Abraham had a covenant with God. And God needed Abraham. See, in covenants, what I will do for you, you will do for me, if we're in covenant with each other. So God needed to see Abraham was willing to sacrifice his son. And of course, he never quite got that to it, but he was willing to do it. But God himself provided the lamb. And because Abraham was faithful and would have actually sacrificed his son, God was then able to sacrifice his begotten son, who was Jesus, for us. So it was a covenant thing, right? And, you know, you might think to yourself, gee, that was a big ask. Would I be able to do that? Well, let me just have a look at this. Abraham was 42 years living out the promise which God had spoken to him. He had been through a lot. God had promised him a child when he was beyond, well, certainly his wife was beyond having children, Sarah. And he had seen this miracle come to pass when both of them, I think he was over 100, you know, and so he'd had 42 years to get to this. Talk about have faith in God. By the time he'd been 42 years walking in faith, he was ready. He was able to do this. You and I could do it too if we had been through the preparation period, the 42-year preparation period that Abraham had been through. Verse 21, I might just go back there. Verse 21, Let me share screen again. We'll just go down to verse 21. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed each of the sons of Joseph and worshipped, leaning on the top of his staff. Now, if you're like me, you go, well, what's this about? So I did a bit of a digging, and I came up with what that is all about. Verse 21. Now, as you know, there's 12 tribes of Israel. Well, Jacob is, by that time, his name had changed to Israel. Jacob became Israel, and he had 12 sons. Yet Israel, by faith, gave one of his sons, Joseph, a double blessing. Right? Which on the surface looked like 13 tribes in the making. Israel, because you've got to remember, Israel didn't know how God would handle this, and he died in faith. That's what this is talking about. Now, so how did God handle this? God took the tribe of Levi and made them the priests with no physical, they didn't get land or anything. They're the 12 tribes of Judah, and they had the land divided up them. The Levites didn't get any land. So the Levites are not one of the 12 tribes. Joseph's son Ephraim took the lot vacated by the tribe of Levi. Woohoo! I only found that out today, so I thought I'd share it with you. It's hot off the press. But, you know, when you're reading the Bible and you go, well, what's going on there? All you've got to do is a bit of digging and you can find out things like this. Over to you, please, John, and you'll have to unmute.
You know, I did some studying this week, too, and I read some things about faith. As we talked about it and you spoke about it here, you know, there was one thing. I mean, faith brings about prophecy. I mean, he prophesied about the children of Israel leaving Israel. I mean, leaving Egypt. That hadn't happened yet. So that So you look at it from that perspective. But faith is a bridge to our friends out there in the third dimension that connects the natural with the spiritual. And that's what you have to do. And that's how we get it into the natural, is how we receive it. So I picked up just got some new insight as to what how we see that, how we see that unseen substance. So thank you, Gary. I appreciate it.
Thank you, John. You come up with some nuggets. And now I see that as a nugget, John. Faith is a bridge that connects the natural with the spirit realm.
Yeah.
Connects this physical realm with the spirit realm. Yeah, no, that's good. I like that. I really like that. Over to you, Tom.
Yeah, that was good, John. But as well, the thing I was thinking there, bridges have to be crossed, don't they?
Yeah.
You know, so we can't just stand on one side and go, okay, I'm in the natural here, and faith is the bridge to the supernatural, I would actually say, and then not go and cross over and take that what belongs to us. So as we always say, faith without works, you know, you've got to still have not a law of works, a works of the law, but a works of, like Gloria said, you know, I always think of Joyce Meyer. She said something years ago, and I've sort of lived my life by it. She said, when it comes to making, you know, when you mentioned about Joshua there, Gloria, God told him to do two things and not to do two things. He said to be strong and very courageous. So there are two things he told him to be. And he said, and be not afraid nor dismayed. There were the two things he was not to do. And Joyce Meyer, she said, so many people quit and so many people don't cross over to all that God's got. And she said, listen, and people say, well, you know, I get anxious about it and I get, you know, I'm a bit nervous about this and I'm a bit nervous about that. And Joyce Meyer says this, just do it afraid. Mm-hmm. Just do it afraid. Listen, everybody that accomplishes things, we're faced with apprehension. We're faced with, what if this doesn't work out? We're faced with, they're all things that's in the sense realm that we've got to deal with. But I just want to give a quick testimony about Wendy the other day, because we're in Sozo, City of Salvation is where we are at the moment. And last time we came, Wendy led this girl in the nail shop to the Lord. And her father had had the vaccine and died at 52 years of age. So she was really troubled. Anyway, this time we got here this year. So we saw her last year and led her to the Lord. And this year, Wendy said, I want to meet this girl again. So she said, I'm going to get my nails done again. And hopefully she's still in this same shop. Well, we was down by the beach and this girl came round the corner, literally round the corner. And there's 50,000 people living in Sozopo in the season. So it's like, wow. So anyway, Wendy says, oh, how are you doing? And she said, oh, I'm okay. I'm a lot better than last year, you know, with her father. And Wendy said, oh, I'll come in and get my nails done. Anyway, to cut long story short, this girl has had a bad back, a really bad back, real painful back. So Wendy, just there and then, like you say, Gloria, be bold, be strong, be courageous. She said, would you mind if I prayed for your back? And this girl says, no, that's fine, go ahead. Anyway, Wendy laid hands on her. Listen, we'll lay hands on the sick and they will recover. And this girl turned around to Wendy and she said, I don't know what's happened. She said, but I've gone hot all my side. And she said, and you've changed. She said, all I can see is white Wendy, like a shining, you know, aura around you and that. Anyway, we bumped into her again last week and Wendy said, oh, how's your back? She said, praise, it's good, it's good.
Praise you know? God.
And so faith needs to have an action to it. Mm. Abraham, I'll just go back to that. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, and this is what I say to people. What area of Abraham's life was tested when God called him to offer up his only son? I'll tell you what part of his life was challenged, was in here.
Yeah.
That was where it was. Because like Gary said, he travailed and waited. He had a go at doing his own way with Ishmael, by the way. And that didn't work out. So the promise was to Sarah and to Abraham, the seed. And then all of a sudden, he's going up the hill. The lad's there saying, I get what we're doing, but where's the, you know, I see the knife and I see the wood and I see the fire going to be built. Where's the lamb? And I know what Isaac's thinking as well. He's thinking, you know, somebody provide a lamb around here because it's not looking good for me. And so this is where our faith is often focused. That was where it was. What if this doesn't go right? What if, you know, but this is, I mean, God wasn't testing him. God was just showing whether he would be faithful to uphold the promise that he covenanted. Because he said, the covenant with Abraham was that to his seeds, you know, as multiple as the sands on the seashore and the stars in the heavens, and he's off up an hill now and he's in here now. That's where that faith, that's where the test was going, and that's where it always goes. The faith, the test of our faith is in here, because as we said at the beginning, faith is from the, it's in an invisible realm. If we can see it, it's not faith, is it? So that's what I got from that. And you know, that was old covenant, but you know, today we can liken that and say this was a type and shadow of Jesus, can't we? This was God offering up his only begotten son.
Yeah.
But you know what? Jesus hadn't been on the scene yet. But we were born in this dispensation. We were born in this time where we're fortunate to have the full word of God. But Abraham wasn't. Yeah, and the Old Testament people, they didn't get around to read the word, did they? So these things now, Abraham not only did what God asked him to do, but it's recorded in history forever for us today to go, you know what, that's a type and shadow of Jesus there. So that's really what I just wanted to say. And the same with all the rest of them, by faith Jacob, by faith Isaac, and Joseph. So, yeah, that's the faith of the patriarchs.
I love the reply that Abraham came back with when Isaac asked his dad. He said, you know, you've got the wood, you've got the we've got all the stuff, but where's the lamb? And, you know, Abraham's thinking, I'm going to have to kill my son. I'm going to have to sacrifice my son. But he prophesied, not knowing that what he was saying was a prophecy. He said, God will provide the lamb for himself.
Well, and also, Gary, yeah. Also, he said, me and the lad will return.
Yeah.
So even if he had killed him, God was going to raise him from the dead.
Yeah. But the way I read it is he expected to sacrifice Isaac and that God would raise him from the dead. Because now let this be of encouragement to you out there in the third dimension. Has God said something to you? And then the life circumstances came along, and if life circumstances took over and you were to die, then that prophecy that God spoke into your life couldn't be fulfilled. So this life circumstance has to get out of the road, be it sickness, disease, or whatever it is, because God has spoken to you. See, God had spoken to Abraham and told him that through Isaac, he would be the father of many nations. Well, if Isaac is not, I believe that Abraham was absolutely convinced that he was going to sacrifice Isaac, but he was equally as convinced, probably more convinced, that God would raise him from the dead. Therefore, he would be returning with his son after his son was raised from the dead. That's the picture that I've got on it, because he was totally convinced. He was, what's the word say? He was fully persuaded that God was able to fulfill those things that he had told him of. You know, we got to come to that position. Whenever we're doing these Bible studies, how does this apply to me? We have to get to that position where we are fully persuaded. We've got to hang on to the promises of God. Forget about life circumstances. The circumstances of life, they can change overnight. They can change in a moment of time. Like when, you know, you lay hands on the sick and they will recover. Wendy laid hands on that young lady in Bulgaria and she recovered instantaneously. Did her circumstance change? Yeah. How long did it take? Instantly. That name of Jesus is above every name. If you've got illness, sickness, pain in your body, put your hand on that pain now. I'm going to command that pain in your body will leave right now in the name of Jesus. Pain gone in Jesus' name. Healing, health, wellness, wholeness throughout your whole body, right from the top of your head to the tip of your toes and everywhere in between. Now that deserves a praise report to the Lord Jesus Christ, because Jesus is the healer. Amen? And we're expecting to get praise reports from you in the comments below in Jesus' name. Amen. Whew. Okay, I'm excited. Let's go back to the word. Yes, John?
I just want to say, you know, we talked about you can't be tempted of something you're not thinking about. And Abraham did not let unbelief come in at all. So he wasn't tempted. He wasn't thinking about that. In other words, unbelief really kills a lot of,
you know,
it'll cause that faith bridge to crumble to some extent. You know what I'm talking about. So he didn't think about it. He didn't let unbelief come in. Thank you, Gary.
Yeah, thanks, John. That's good. Before we commence the next segment, which is always the highlight of our Bible study, I'd like to pray over your giving today. This prayer comes from 2 Corinthians 9, verses 10 and 11. May God, who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food, supply and multiply the seed you have sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness while you are enriched in everything for all liberality which causes thanksgiving through us to God. I thank God for your giving. I thank God for those who on a regular basis are partnered with GFCD and give monthly. This allows us to keep all our various programs going. Thank you again. God bless you. Okay. All right, Gloria, we're on
verse 23.
Mm-hmm. You can go 23 right down to 29, please.
Okay.
And we're going to you, John.
Okay. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden 3 months by his parents because they saw he was a beautiful child and they were not afraid of the king's command. By faith, Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he looked to the reward. By faith, he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. By faith, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he who destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith, they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, whereas the Egyptians, attempting to do so, were drowned.
Amen. Okay, over to you, John.
Thank you, Gary. Here again, we look at Moses's family. They were prudent. They didn't act out of fear. They just acted out of faith. They knew that their child, Moses, was destined to be used by God. So they did what was necessary to bring that faith into the natural realm, which eventually did happen. Thank you, Gary.
Yeah, thanks, John. Over to you, please, Tom.
It's all about God's covenant with these people, isn't it? So you've got to just remember that no matter, and the thing that I was thinking there is it's not how we begin that really matters. It's how we finish that really matters.
Mm.
You know, Moses' beginning didn't look really great, did it? Floating around in a basket, you know, in the Nile and stuff like that. But the gifts and callings of God are without repentance. And so I believe God's call was on his life, as John said, from the beginning. And then he could have adopted a title of like Pharaoh's household, and yet he stayed with his Hebrew, you know, identity. So again, it's just a faith deal. And then choosing rather to suffer the affliction of the people of God, he could have taken the easy option. I'm pretty sure to have been brought up in Pharaoh's household would have been a lot more enjoyable, a lot more pleasurable. But he chose rather to go with his identity of the Hebrew nation, esteeming the reproach. And then, because we get an eternal reward. And that's what he was looking forward to. It's really, again, a faith deal, isn't it? And by the way, Moses was a great guy, 120 years of age. His strength was not diminished, nor his eyesight. Strength not abated, nor his eyesight dimmed. Climbed Mount Nebo at 120. But again, part of his life, remember what I said about King David, all we remember about is his sin with Uriah. Well, Moses was a murderer. He killed an Egyptian. So don't allow our mistakes, maybe just one mistake, to hinder what's ahead of him.
Amen. Yeah. He made a decision. He was raised up as the child of Pharaoh's daughter, and he made a decision not to stay in that household. And then he defended somebody who was under attack from an Egyptian. And as Tom said, he killed that person. Then he had to take off, and he spent the next 40 years in the back blocks looking after sheep. So it was a big step down from living in the household of Pharaoh's daughter for him. But anyway, that's another story. So we will go on with this reading, and we will finish the end of the chapter, please, Gloria.
Okay.
So right down from I don't know what's happened to my sizes on my screen, 30 to 40. I'll just have to scroll down as you read. Okay.
By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were encircled for 7 days. By faith, the harlot Rahab did not perish with those who did not believe when she had received the spies with peace. And what more shall I say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Japheth, also of David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, worked righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, became valiant in battle, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. Still others had trial of mockings and scourgings, yes, and of chains and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn in two, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains, in dens and caves of the earth. And all these, having obtained a good testimony through faith, did not receive the promise. God having provided something better for us, that they should not be made perfect apart from us.
Amen. So in verse 39, and all these, having obtained a good testimony through faith, so they, you know, faith, what it comes down to, if faith is just believing the word of God, just believing on the word of God, they did not receive the promise, because the promise was there, but it was a promise that the seed should come. This is the savior of the world. The seed should come, right? But the seed was Jesus. You know, Jesus was the promise, and he hadn't yet come when these people died, but they had a good testimony because they, through faith, had not received the promise, God having provided something better for us, that they should be made perfect apart from us. Right, over to you, please, John. You'll have to unmute, John.
Yeah, I read what Andrew Womack said about that. All their faith, they had to look forward. So all their faith was on credit. Can you imagine carrying that credit card around in your pocket? They had to look forward. We're blessed. We get to look backwards. So and see, we've seen the promise, and we get the experience. They never got the experience. They just have to, they had to practice that on using their credit card. It's like, it's kind of interesting analogy there, but we get to look back at it. And so, you know, wow, isn't that neat? I mean,
it is.
We don't have, yeah. Thank you, Gary.
Yeah, thanks, John. Yeah, I'd say that was God's credit card.
Yeah, God's credit card.
Wow, because, you know, it was paid in full at the cross.
Paid in full at the cross. But
up until the cross, God was just putting it on Jesus' account.
Yeah, that's right. That's neat. Yeah,
because the Bible says that sin was in the law from Adam through until Moses, but where there is no law, sin is not imputed against them. Right. So all the people, the people in the flood, the people of Sodom and Gomorrah, their sin was not being imputed against them because God was putting it on his credit card. And all those people, if you remember the story about between the cross and the resurrection, Jesus went and preached to those who were captive, right? And how do I know that it was these people? Because it even says those of Noah's era, of those of Noah's, when Noah, when the world was flooded, or some wording like that. I can't give you the address of it, but look it up for yourself. It's these people. You know, they paid a heavy price because God had to protect the bloodline to Jesus. They lost their lives, their physical lives, but they did not lose their spiritual lives because they had an opportunity when Jesus went into the bowels of the earth and he preached to them. It doesn't tell us a lot about it, but it actually happened. And he says he took captivity captive. Mm-hmm. I can't see that anybody would have knocked him back, but you never know. Some people are so pig-headed, they might have. Anyway, have we been to you yet, Tom? No, we haven't. Right?
No.
Okay, no, over to you, Tom. No. I'm getting so excited. I'm getting so carried away.
That's good.
I'd lost my train of thought. Over to you, Tom.
No problem. Yeah, again, it's just this, like you say, walking by faith and not by sight again. One of the things I often think about when I read this is that we've got it too easy these days in being born in the time that we are born in. Mm. Listen, we can find out everything, you know, with a press of a button and a search on Google, and we have all these media streams that we can access. And if you have a sickness or a disease or an injury or something hurting in your body, you can Google it, you can go online and you can terrify yourself. Because everybody will tell you, you know, different things that's out there. And I don't think this age is actually as beneficial in some ways as the age of these people. These people didn't have any of the resources that we've got. They didn't have the full word of God. They didn't have the Holy Spirit. They didn't have a church. You know, these people were just walking by faith. And not only were they walking by faith, they were dying by faith as well. Mm. Sawn in two, stoned, wandering around in sheepskins and goatskins and all the rest of it. We need faith to live, but we need faith to die also. We're all going to depart in the same fashion if Jesus tarries. We're all going out feet first. And yet today, in our churches, we have people leaving, getting offended because they don't like the colour of the carpet. Yet these people are being sawn in two. They're being beheaded. They're being stoned for following God and following faith in God. And so, to me, it's a challenge that you know, we need to wake up, because we've got a far better covenant than these people have. Mm. Far better covenant. You know, in the UK, I don't know if anybody who agrees with this. I know we've got Americans and Australians on that. But one thing we do in England that I think is outrageous is we build cathedrals. So if you've never been to England, we have a cathedral near us that's literally 40 clicks away called, and Google it, you can see it. And when Americans come over, John, we always take them to York Minster or to Lincoln Cathedral. And Lincoln Cathedral is just absolutely off the scale. Well, here's the thing. I looked at the history of the building of Lincoln Cathedral. Bear in mind, they didn't have JCBs, they didn't have scaffolding, they didn't have laser cutters, they didn't have anything. They had timber and stone and chisels and hammers. And Lincoln Cathedral took 83 years to build. 83 years to build. So if we say the youngest worker on there was in his, say, 15 years of age, and the oldest ones were in their 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, not one of those saw it finished. Not one of them. And yet we can go there now, and honestly, I go fishing near there, and it's on a hill, and you can see it from miles away. And when you go inside, it is simply breathtaking, absolutely breathtaking. And yet not one of them saw that. Same as these people. They didn't see the promises. Not one of them saw any of the promises. Mm. They were persecuted, they were harassed, they were martyred. Guess what? And likewise with us. We might not see all of the things that we've, you know, what the seed that we're putting out there. We're doing this now. In 100 years' time, guess what? This, you know, People could be writing books about it. People could be, I don't know. So we've got to remember it's always a faith deal. Even if we might not see it come to pass, we've just got to believe it by faith. And we're believing for long life. Will he satisfy us and show us his salvation? We're believing for that we're the beloved, and he wants above all things for us to prosper and be in health, etc. But guess what? If we change address tomorrow, what have we done with it? I believe we're leaving an inheritance. And these people, that's what they left. They left an inheritance. And we're reading about it now. They're in the Hall of Fame. What about you? Are they going to be writing about you one day? Well, praise God. Maybe they won't.
Thanks, Tom. Wow. This has been a really good Bible study tonight. If you too have been touched by this Bible study, then just remember that we have got a playlist on our YouTube platform. You may be watching this on a variety of other platforms, our YouTube platform has got our playlist, and there are now 280 of these televised or videoed Bible studies. So that's a lot of discipleship teaching. A lot of teaching. And if you like to subscribe to our YouTube channel, click the little bell so you get notifications of when we're going to be on live stream next, but basically it'll be a week from right now, and you can watch us there. If you're watching us on Facebook, because we use an app called Restream, and we go out to a half a dozen different platforms. So whichever platform you're watching on us, you can follow us or subscribe or whatever, and we'll be back again this time next week. I'm going to hand over to my wife Gloria now, who has got probably the most important message of all tonight, and that is the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ, about how you can obtain your ticket to heaven. That's right, you got your ticket to heaven. If you were to die tonight, do you know with all certainty, absolutely, that you'd go to heaven? Or do you just say to that question, well, I hope so? No, that's not good enough. You've got to have absolute 100% certainty. The Bible says you can have it. And I'm going to hand over to Gloria, and she'll tell you how you can get your ticket to heaven right here, right now.
You might already be a believer, but maybe you might know somebody who hasn't yet made that decision. You could share this video with them and let them listen to the story of the faith that those people then had and continued to believe on that coming Messiah, the coming Christ. So we are in a great position in that we can look back. Jesus is a historical figure. There's evidence that he was on this earth, but all that evidence amounts to nothing if you don't believe. Like I was saying when I had said the communion message, you just need to believe in what Jesus has done. You need to believe that he was born of a Virgin Mary. You need to believe that he died for us on the cross, that he shed his blood for our salvation. You need to believe that he rose from the grave, that he's a living and alive today, that he's not a dead God, that he is alive. Now, if you can believe that in your heart, and it's only a decision, if you can believe it in your heart and speak it with your mouth and say, Father God, I believe that Jesus came and died for me. I believe that he's risen from the grave. I believe that he paid the price for my sin. You can confess that out of your mouth and invite him into your heart. He won't say no. He'll come in and in an instant take away that old nature, that old spirit, and replace it with a brand new spirit. You'll be a totally new creature in Christ, a totally new creation, because we are a spirit. So that brand new spirit is who we will be. We'll be just like Jesus. We have a soul, which is our mind, our will, and our emotions, and we live in an earth suit called our body. But that spirit will be totally new. And if you want that, all you have to do is ask for it. Confess it with your mouth.
Okay.
And that's in line with Romans 10, 9 and 10. So you can go and look that up in the Word.
Gloria, can I ask you to say the prayer and lead the people through that prayer? Because I believe that there's people out there wanting to say the prayer, mm-hmm. but they need your help just with leading them through it. So right sure. now,
okay. prayer. Father God, I thank you that you have sent your son Jesus, born of a Virgin Mary, born of a virgin and totally 100% man. He laid aside his deity to walk on this earth. I thank you, Father God, that Jesus died for my sin, that he paid for my healing by the lashes on his back, that he was buried, and that he rose again, and he is alive and living today. Father God, I ask that Jesus come into my heart and make me a new creation. And I thank you for it. And I call you, Jesus, my Lord and my Savior. Thank you, Father God, for sending your only begotten Son. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
If you just prayed that prayer for the first time right now, please send us an email to gfcd.sozo@gmail.com. I'll repeat that, gfcd.sozo@gmail.com. And we'll put you in touch with somebody who can mentor you, because that prayer is the beginning of your Christian walk. Do you realize that right there and then you received eternal life? Eternal life doesn't start when you get to the pearly gates. Eternal life starts when you get born again. John 3:7, Jesus said, you must be born again. Well, if you said that prayer, you just got born again. Amen. And I want to thank the ministers on the screen, John Tripp and Tom Hawkins. And we will be back with you guys in there in the third dimension this time next week. And see you, Vicky, up there at the Glasshouse Mountains.
Bye, everybody.
Bye, everybody.
Thank you for joining us.
Bye. Bye.